Today on Real Radio.
Start seeing yourself before the presence of God, and you won't have time to critique other people. Because I've been forgiven so much, I'm happy about that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables of Jesus. We're looking at a parable found in Matthew chapter 18. It's often called the parable of the unmerciful servant. In fact, that's the title of this mini-series, The Parable of the Unmerciful Servant. This chapter also records a conversation between Jesus and Peter about forgiveness, which of course compelled our Lord to tell the parable of the unmerciful servant. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Listen, America, I want to yell, America, suck it up. Endure it. Watch. Endure. Suffer it to be so. Be strong. Stop whining. You know what I'm saying? She hurt my feelings. The Bible says, prop yourself up. Be strong. Endure it. You need to remember that. Ephesians 4, verse 32 says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassion, forgiving one another. Why? Well, even as God in Christ forgave you. Isn't that great? Why should I forgive him? Because Jesus forgave you. But he's a, and what are you to Jesus? Right? Come on. This is good stuff. Let's be honest. I don't want to hear this. Look, you're getting this for free. You'd have to pay to get this anywhere else. And you're not even laying down on a couch. I'm telling you straight up, man. God says, go forgive those that have hurt you. And your heart will be changed. Things will happen to you. You'll be set free. It's awesome. But how do I do that? How do I forgive those who have wounded me? Take your eyes off of them and put your eyes, listen, put your eyes on God. Take your eyes off of them, put your eyes on God, and see yourself, I mean this, see yourself standing before the Lord. This person, this, and that's what's wrong with them, and this is wrong with the other, and this is the other thing, and that's the other thing. Whoa. How do you look standing before God? On Sunday, I made mention of the robe and the righteousness of Christ, and I had made a comment, and I saw someone almost be electrocuted near the front row when I said it. I don't know why, but it's true. And I said, look, we need to be robed in the righteousness of Christ. And Jesus warned the church at Laodicea that they were none other than naked. Remember that? They didn't have any righteousness of his. And that no matter how young you are or no matter how great you think you look, okay, everyone looks better with clothes on. And someone went, like, what? Look, it's true. And the truth is this. When you and I, listen, Paul the Apostle said, you and I, and we need to practice this way of thinking. It'll really put a gate on our mouth. Paul says all of us will someday stand before God naked and open, and we will give an account unto him. Nothing will be hidden. Can you imagine standing there before the eternal God? And he sees every thought in our entire life, every motive, everything we've ever done. And don't you think for a moment this parable is going to pop up in your head and you're going to say, Master, forgive me. Have compassion. And Jesus, who the book of Romans calls us our advocate, that's a legal term. Jesus is going to step up and say, Father, he belongs to me. He's mine. And the father's going to say, the father's going to go, all I see is you, Jesus. A moment ago I saw Jack, and then now I can only see you. Yes, Father, that's right, because he's in me, and I in you, and we are one. And the father's going to say, okay, dismissed. Next. And you're going to say, now I see why I'm going to praise the Lord for all eternity. Start seeing yourself before the presence of God, and you won't have time to critique other people. Because I've been forgiven so much, I'm happy about that. And I told you before that when we grant forgiveness, as God asks us to do that, we're being like Jesus. And it's an awesome thing. The third thing is this. For us to be like Jesus, we need to be patient. And so, verse 28, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him $5. And he went and laid hands on him and took him by the throat. Wow. And saying to him, you owe me, pay me. And so his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him. And we know that he requests their patience. Have patience. What a tragic story. What a tragic situation this is, that this guy would conduct himself this way. Jesus answers that in Matthew 18:17-19. Look there. Matthew 18:17-19. But if he refuses even to hear the church or the leaders of the church. By the way, this is a side note. Isn't it interesting? Jesus honors and believes in the institution of the church. Let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. This is a very misunderstood verse, verse 18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I have heard this verse abused so badly when people, this thing about loosening and binding, and I'm gonna loosen wealth upon you. Have you ever heard that stuff? The context is church discipline. In fact, he goes on, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, you know, we've all used that verse that let's pray. Come on, let's have a prayer meeting. You know, Jesus said, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you. That's cute, but it's completely theologically inaccurate. Did you know that? I know there's books written on this topic, and it's out of context. Jesus said, whenever you come together the way that I've instructed it to happen, and church discipline is to be employed, I'm right there. I will be giving wisdom and judgment to those authorities to maintain the health of the church. I'm there. But this loosening and binding, the context again is church discipline. And he's saying, whatever you bind, based upon the word of God, heaven recognizes it. Heaven will honor that if it's biblical, if it's done by the will of God. Heaven will recognize that. Isn't it interesting? The authority of the church is not some document. The authority of the church is the Holy Spirit, who uses the word of God, the Bible. Think about it, the Bible. I know, it cracks me up. I love it, though. I really love the time and the age in which we live in. The Bible, you can't believe it. You can't trust it. Have you been listening to people? Their mouths are flapping like a sail in the wind. I mean, that's how I see it. It's like, wow. This is amazing. Keep talking, because it's very entertaining. I mean, you know what you're talking about, but I'm enjoying hearing this. Oh, you can't trust the Bible, and that's so ridiculous. Remember, it's just a couple weeks ago that the terrorist that got killed, he said the Bible is nothing but a cheap knockoff or something like that of the Quran. The Bible was already around the world before the Quran was ever written. What are you talking about? You hear him saying, well, you know, there's so many mistakes in the Bible. Will you find one and write a book and become a billionaire? Well, my grandmother said that there was a couple in there somewhere. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing. Look, the Bible was here before we got here. It's going to be here after we're gone. It's eternal. I'm not talking about the Bible. The paper. You understand this paper? What happens if they burned all the Bibles in the world? God is still God. The word that they burnt is still true. It's still going to happen. Well, I didn't read it. It can't happen because I didn't read it. Oh, you shouldn't have burned it. It's going to happen. It's the Bible. God spoke it. It's what it is. It's amazing. But the Christian church needs to get through this. We need to be patient, and we need to make sure that we're not like this unmerciful servant in holy living. Now listen, turn to Acts 5. This is amazing. Can you imagine this happening in church today? Now some of you are going to say, well, I want to go to a New Testament, first century church. All right then. Here we go. Acts 5. And Ananias and Sapphira. I want to go to a first century church with the apostles. Okay, here you go. Acts chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira, a little bit of background. They became Christians. And by the way, God didn't tell them to do this. Somebody had the idea, and so they did it. God didn't tell them to do this. God didn't tell anybody to do this, but they did it. People did it. And that is, they sold all that they had, and they came and brought what they made in profit so that everybody was communal. Sounds cute, but God didn't say to do that. By the way, Karl Marx was a big fan of, I'm not joking, he quotes Acts chapter 5 regarding communism. He said, it's biblical. The only problem is God never said to do that. People with good intentions did it, and it backfired on them, and the Jerusalem church wound up starving to death, and Paul had to go all around Europe collecting money to ship it back to the Jerusalem church so they could eat, because they blew it. So Ananias and Sapphira have a property. They have a plot of land, and they sell it. But they say they sold it for a certain price, but they kept back part of the earnings for themselves, and they inflated. They lied. Are you with me? Let's have a pledge. We have a building fund. And how many of you in our special building fund service tonight would like to donate so much money, blah, 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 to the building fund? Can I see a show of hands? Who's really going to trust God and give money? And some guy says, I'll give $100,000. And he's got $100,000 to give, and he intends to give $100,000. In fact, he even writes the check. And then somebody's sitting down a few rows over it. I don't know. I don't have $100,000. But I'll give $200,000. He doesn't have it, but he says he has it. Oh, look at that guy right there. He's going to give $200,000. Are you following me? Okay. Acts 5:9. Then Peter said to her, Sapphira, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit? Look, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all those who heard these things. I bet. Can you imagine? Her husband was there. She must have been out at Nordstrom's or something. And her husband goes, oh, we'll do 200,000. No one's going to outdo me in this church. I'm going to really look like, you know. And he lied. And Peter says, how is it that you've not conspired to lie to men? You have lied to God. And the guy went, yeah, but dead. Can you imagine? And then the young guys pick the guy up, carry him out. What a service. And then the wife comes in. She's got her new gown on or whatever, man. She's got her robe with the whatever, her Gucci thing going, and she comes in there, she's, all right, that's great, how's it going? And he's, I just want to make sure, did you guys sell the land for this much? Oh, yeah, yeah, that's how much. Yeah, that's how much, yeah. You've lied to God, you and your husband. And the same guys that just buried your husband is going to bury you. Yeah, but... dead. Let me tell you, when the scripture says, great fear came upon all the church, upon all who heard these things, can you imagine? Hey, Peter, how big was that fish you caught the other day? It was this big. Right? Think about it. That's awesome. Think of that. That is the righteousness of God, first century New Testament church. But you know what? It was a holy church. People thought about it before they opened their mouth. Galatians 5:19. Now look, hear me out on this. I'm going to quote these verses. This is the Bible. People always write me about this. When I say these verses, will you let me finish so you can be happy? But what happens, I start going through the verses and somebody runs out of the building with their hair on fire and then writes me a letter and they you didn't even let me finish. So ushers, just, that's right, lock those doors. Galatians 5:19, I'm going to read from Galatians 5:19 and then go into 1 Corinthians 6. Watch how wonderful this is. And I mean, it is wonderful. So take your political correctness and just flush it down the toilet where it belongs and listen to what God wants to say to you and me. And we'll be free. Okay? Galatians 5:19. New Living Translation says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, porneia. We get the word porn from that word, actually. Impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, the worship of things, sorcery, which is interesting because it's pharmakei. You ever heard of that word? Pharmaceutical pharmacy. Pharmakei. Which, by the way, pharmakei unlocks your soul into the world of sorcery. That's why the word is used here. Isn't that interesting? You want to see demons and freaky things? Go take dope. Drop some acid or whatever. And you say, well, that's just in your mind. Oh, yeah? Pharmakei unlocks you into the spirit realm. Well, I wanted to check that out. Really? You don't want to go there. But I'm still reading this verse. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, unable to get along, division, staying separated, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, that's a nice way of putting it. It's orgies. Just the 1960s and 70s, free sex, which is a funny term. They called it free sex, but it almost cost them all their lives. Anyway. And other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9 goes on in the New King James Version. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators. You know what a fornicator is? Just fornicating is just sexually immoral, having sex outside the brackets or the prescription of marriage. You're not married, but you're having sex. God says that's called fornication. Why? Because God made your body. Well, I want to run my own body. Watch where that gets you. God is God. He can't like, well, you know what? You're right. Let me just go back into eternity. Let you do your thing. He made your body. Your body, God loaned you the body. Someday we have to give it back. And so, just having sex, idolaters, you know what adulterers are? Either both of them are married and having sex with other people, or one is married and one is not. That's adultery. Nor homosexuals, doesn't work. It scientifically doesn't work, and it spiritually doesn't work. It doesn't work. Nor sodomites, not going to talk about it. Nor thieves, nor covetous. Now look, by now some of us should be saying, that used to be me. That used to be me there, there, and there, there, and there. Are you with me? Nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. If I stopped right there, I mean, there'd be like, that's it, my life's over. Look at the next verse. Because you know what, before I even read the next verse, hang on a second. I don't know, I think I can find four things in here that I made sure I was doing before I met Jesus. Some of these things I was doing the week. In fact, two of these things I was going to go do and wound up pulling into a church parking lot, and I got saved on the very night I was planning to go do. So don't write me a note and say, well, you hurt my feelings. Hey, let me tell you something. This knucklehead right here was wounding the heart of God on the very night I was going to go do more of that. He saved me. He rescued me while I was planning evil. He's amazing. Oh man, when I get there and she's gonna be over there and boy, we're gonna go there and then we're gonna do this and then it's gonna, and then what, hey, let me pull in here. What is that? What's that place? What is that? I walk in there and Greg Lurie opens the Bible and hits me in the face with, I mean, he didn't really, but the Holy Spirit took the word of God. I'm like, what? And then verse 11, such were some of you. Did you all hear that? Man, that really hurt my feelings. It's okay. It's okay if your feelings are hurt. Why? Verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Yeah. My gosh, that is the greatest news in the world. That's the best news ever. And the only person that would resist that is the person who's lost.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parable of the Unmerciful Servant. It's a look at Matthew chapter 18 and verses 22 through 35. The Parable of the Unmerciful Servant. It's actually a series within a series and part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Okay, it's Monday, and as we remind you just about every Monday, you can catch our weekly television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. In fact, you can watch it at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Now, often the program is Pastor Jack and a guest or two engaging in some informative discussions and interviews, centered, of course, around the Judeo-Christian worldview. They look at topics like scripture, evangelism, apologetics, faith and politics, marriage and family, accurate views of history, and a whole lot more. There's a new Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program every Monday. We hope you'll watch it. And of course, you can browse the categories for yourself and see archived programs. Just visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And of course, you'll also find links to just about all that's connected to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.